I'll read today's scripture from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born.
So I came down a little early, and the worship team was starting to practice, and I just about started crying at the reality of being back here and having them play music live, and I was overcome with the thought and the presence of the Spirit of God. And it is good to be back together. It's not perfect yet, but what a privilege it is on our first Sunday back that I get to share with you from the Word of God. And I thank you for that. We're trying to keep things a little shorter, and so that's a challenge. I'm going to jump right into our passage. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. I want to remind you of the gospel. So this morning I want to look at what is the gospel and why today is it important that you're reminded of that gospel. What is the gospel? Well, it's from a Greek word. Actually, it's two words put together, euangelion, and in the Czech it's evangelium because it's translated directly. In the English we usually say gospel, but it's two words from the Greek put together which mean good message, our good news. So Paul is saying, I want to remind you of the message that I preached to you and that you received. I just want to remind you of what's gone on before, of the message that I preach and the message that you received. And he goes on to say, this message on which you have taken your stand. It's just not, you heard this message, but you heard this gospel and you have stood on it. You have based your life on that gospel. And by that same gospel, you are saved. You are saved by that gospel. You're delivered. You're set free. You move into a whole new way of abundant life through that gospel. But he says, hold firmly, grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of that word that I preach. Grab a hold of it. Do not let go of it. Otherwise, you will have believed in vain. Now that kind of has my attention there. Otherwise, your belief, what's happened, will be in vain. So what is the good news? Well, I was born in Storm Lake, Iowa, and my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents ran the local newspaper. So I grew up around news, and I knew how important it was because twice a week, the Storm Lake newspaper would come out and it would report the local events, the things that had happened in Storm Lake, Iowa in the last 2 to 3 days. And so the reporter would go out and get the facts, get the details. And I grew up with a grandpa who was always getting the details. And long after he was a newspaper man, he sent me a 2-page typed letter every week of the things that were happening in Storm Lake, Iowa. The news, the events that were going on. News. The good news. Not just news, but good news. News that lifts up, that moves us forward. But not just good news, but it's the good news of a special or determinate value. The good news. Now, it's hard sometimes in our day with reporting to get the news, because there's so much, oftentimes, opinion and slant and spin that goes on with that. And so many people using that to try to convince people of certain things. Whereas I think we'll see here that the news is really about what happened. And as best we can say that, then that becomes news. But here's the news. Go on to the next one. So what I received, I passed on to you. What came to me as news that Paul received, he said, I passed it on to you. And these are the things: that Christ died for our sin, that he was buried, the third day he arose from the dead, he appeared to Peter, the 12, 500 at one time, to James, and finally to himself, to Paul. That's the news. That's the gospel. Right there, it's all concrete things, except for one little piece of it, which isn't quite so concrete. But that he was buried, he rose, he appeared, those are all things that if you were there, you would have seen, and you could say, this is what happened. Now, he takes that, though, but he says that Jesus died for our sins. Now, you can't see that in the death, but you see that throughout all of the scriptures. And he says, as according to the scriptures, several times in there, according to the scriptures, that was what this was all about. Even the name of Jesus means he will save us. They'll name him Jesus, for he will save us from our sins. All this was about that Jesus' death, he died for our sins. Now, that almost sounds like a creed, a statement of beliefs. Like we say the Apostle Creed, and we will later on, that Jesus died, he was buried, he third day he rose from the dead, and he appeared. And that's an important thing. But it's much more important than just the words. Because we in the West tend to see things with a Western mindset, of course. And belief often becomes about our heads. And the taking of proposition, saying, yeah, I agree with that. Whereas in other cultures, and in much of the Semitic culture, they use the same word for believe as to obey. And it's more like, rather than believe with your head, it's more like your whole body experiences something. It's not just your head that assents to that, but your whole life assents to it. And so we say things, well, your actions show your beliefs. So we get that at some level. But there's to be a congruity, a tying together. And so when the scripture talks about believing that Jesus died for our sins, receiving the gospel, it's more than just being able to say the words and have some kind of mental assent. In fact, some people struggle with the mental assent. They struggle more with the concept of God than they would if they were to open up their hearts to the reality of the living God being at work in their lives. So the good news. Be reminded of the good news and stand in it. It's the foundation of your life. It's your salvation. It's the way you experience freedom and wholeness. Hold firmly to it so that you do not believe in vain. Now, recently, as I've met with people, well, it's not just recently, it goes back a long ways, I realize that a lot of people carry a lot of shame. And that's how I want to apply this today as we move towards Holy Communion. Lots of people, lots of Christian people, people who profess their faith in Jesus, still walk in a lot of shame. They're wondering, am I worthy? Well, look what I did. I'm an awful person. Why can't I just, I just keep doing this same thing over and over. I continue to do this. As I was preparing on Friday morning, I did my rough draft Friday morning and got done and had about a half an hour before Jenny and I were scheduled to work out together. And so I took some time to read a psalm, and I had the music on, and I have this series of Czech Christian music that I listen to. But up popped an American one, called Spirit Touch Your Church, and I'm on YouTube, and so I just clicked on that and went there, and I was kind of excited because I was feeling kind of close to God right then, and I felt like praying. But here's what happened. That particular song, which is, it's a several songs, it's about 15 to 20 minutes long. 2 years ago, I felt called to pray every day. In the middle of it, it says, take a country and pray for it. And for me, I felt called to pray for my apartment building and do that every day. And I did that every day for several months. And I invited others back in the United States to join me in that. But one day I got sidetracked. And next thing I knew, I had lost vision of that. And I would try to pick it up every once in a while, and I'd do it for a few days, and then I'd lose vision and track again. And so as I played this song, all of a sudden I felt, what a loser you are, Bill. What a bad prayer you are. What a bad missionary you are. You can't even follow through on praying this 20-minute thing. What a bad Christian. And I just felt the heaviness of that. I felt it in the core of my being that, oh. And all of a sudden I realized that I was walking in the shame that I was telling people not to walk in as believers in Jesus. And so it was a quick move because this was all in my head right then. And I realized that, no, what you do is you say, Lord, that's the way I am. And I'm not going to let that distract me because what was happening, I was praying, and this was distracting me from my time with God. This feeling of shame was distracting me. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. And that's what I want us to say and hear when Paul says he's going to remind us of the gospel, that God does not want us to continue to wallow, to walk in that shame. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. He died for our sins. None of us were worthy. All of us, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. God wants us free from shame. In fact, this verse just boggles my mind. It's later on in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, where Paul writes, God made him, speaking of Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. God made him, Jesus, who is perfect, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus bore our sin on the cross. It was a real experience. That's why it can be called good news, because of what was happening there. And so that came to Paul. Paul passed it on. But that's a real experience that Jesus had. And how do we know that? Well, I believe it's there in the lines that he screamed out in the middle of his crucifixion, where he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Of course, he was quoting Psalm 22. But I believe in that moment that even though he is fully God, fully human, in some mysterious way, he was just there in the flesh with this load of sin that he took on in that brief moment for our sake. And so he cried out, experiencing that separateness from God, which must have just been awful as he cried that out. But think about it. There's like 110 billion people who have lived, or some people estimated that, who have lived over thousands of years. And it says all of that, all of their sin, he took upon himself. And so when Jenny is wearing something like that, I say, remember, Jesus already died for that. Jesus already died for that. Bill, Jesus already died for the fact that you got distracted in praying for your apartment building. And what made it even harder is just the one thing that we'd seen happening there. We made friends with a couple, and with a couple of two boys, and they just moved. The only people that we'd really established a good relationship with. But that's okay. So I don't know if it's okay, but God says, don't stay there. Admit it. Because that's what allows the grace of God to fully permeate into our lives. And we experience not just in our heads, but in the core of who we are. The presence of God came that morning, and I began to pray again out of that acknowledgement of who I am, but the acknowledgement of who God is and what he did for me on that cross. He took that sin and he bore it. He became sin in my place. So, are you carrying anything today? Is there anything that you're carrying today? In terms of shame, guilt? Yeah, it's good to acknowledge it. Because then we can be cleansed and freed from it. But it's not good. It's not God's will for you to hang on to it. See, that just totally contradicts that the God who loved the world, who sent his son, who was crucified, who went through all that for us. It just negates that reality. It says, oh Lord, so what? You did that. But you see, our God wants us to be free and able to walk and live and fully be aware of his presence in the present moment. And so we have this history of people reminding us. Paul reminds the Corinthians of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. Jesus reminded us on the night that he was betrayed, the night that someone said, Jesus is here, you can take him. On the night that he was to be betrayed, he took some bread. He was there at the Passover meal with the disciples, celebrating the Passover. And in the middle of that very traditional setting and meal, he changed the script. He said it differently. In the middle of that, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me. Hear that word? Remember. Remember. Remember that Jesus died on the cross. Because that's what he was pointing to in that meal. And he's saying ahead of time, this is going to happen. And I want you to continue to do this and remember. Remember. Don't forget. Let it be what you stand on. Let it be your salvation. Grasp hold of it so that you're not walking around in shame that what I did isn't in vain. But hang on to that. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat this in remembrance of me. And later on in the ceremony with the cup of redemption, the third cup of the four cups of Passover, Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. You know what he said next? Probably do. For the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus has clarified what his death is about. And that word went forth to Paul, and Paul passed that on, and we continue to have that passed on, the gospel, to hundreds, millions of people who have said yes. And so he took the cup, he blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take drink it. Why? Remember. Remember Remember this. It's the foundation of your very existence. So I invite you now to think, ask, is there any place that you're hanging on? Anything that you're hanging on to? Anything that you're feeling? Anything that's making you feel, oh, I'm a loser, I'm a bad Christian, oh, I'm not doing very well? Anything like that?